The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. In Texas.
Hey friend, it's Nicole, host of the Nicole Walters podcast. Here's where we laugh, we cry, and we grant ourselves grace as we do life together. Let's get started. Y'all, again, I don't have people here unless I know for a fact it's going to be good. You have heard from Dr. Scott Lyons. You've heard, I literally only bring people in that I know are great. And I am so excited because the person that I have here today, when I tell you she is our people, I mean, she is our people. I have known Kendra Nicole for, I want to say like almost 8 years now, 6 years now. It's been a while. And she is easily one of my go-to financial experts, super mamas. She has been in a relationship now for, I think, like 3 years, 4 years. I mean, she is an incredible do-it-all woman. She's also beautiful and smart and kind. And I'm just so excited because today's chat is going to be unlike anything you've ever heard because we're going to keep it all the way real. We are going to talk about money. Y'all know it's my favorite topic and also the most uncomfortable topic. And we're going to talk about some shifts that you're going to make that you're not hearing in other places, but will absolutely change your life. So Kendra, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Nicole.
Yeah, so I just want to jump right in.
Yes.
Okay, I want to jump right in because they're not listening to me. I have spent a whole two seasons talking about how money has stressed me the heck out, or the act of getting money has stressed me the heck out. And you are all about peace and profits.
All about it.
Tell me, what the heck does that mean?
It's really about balancing the art and act of making money with doing it in a way that keeps you fulfilled, right? So that you can keep going. And I was not always about peace and profits. I was just about profits, right?
Yes, listen, I felt like there was this window of time where we actually met each other where that really was the language. There wasn't burnout talk. There wasn't any of that. It was corporate's a scam. Yes. Get the heck out.
Yes.
There is a lot of money to make.
Yeah.
Do it now. Make as much as possible. It's all that matters by any means necessary.
Work as much as you can. Do everything that you can to build, scale.
Yes.
Like absolutely. Yes. 100%.
And it was, you're already doing this in corporate anyways.
Yeah.
The gag is just do it for yourself,
right?
But work the same level of crazy, you'll make more money.
Absolutely.
And it's totally
worth
it.
But you have time freedom now, right?
But you have time freedom.
But you don't,
time
because you're still working this hard, but you're supposed to have time freedom.
Right.
Right.
And the catch 22 was Gen Z was all age 3-4 at that point.
Right.
Then they got hip to it, right? And Gen Z now is in their 20s having their own babies and they're like, oh, y'all are playing yourselves because we don't even care about a six-figure anything if it's going to kill us.
Yeah.
We would rather sleep in our cars.
And then you see that and you're like, okay, well, hey, wait. Wait a second. Okay, there's something to this.
Right, you know? Right. There's something to the fact that our own kids are looking at us saying, wait, the way you're doing it's not how I want to do it either.
Right.
So
right.
Walk me through how you realize this because, you know, your whole business is helping women understand their profits, understand their businesses so they can have more peace. So tell me how you came to it. Tell me how you realize that, especially as a numbers person, which is why like I'm so excited you're here because you hear everybody and their mama talking about more peace, less burnout, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It is rare that you hear a financial person saying, oh no, honey, make less money because you stressed.
Yeah.
And that's how you help these women. So tell me about it.
Well, and I will say in the beginning when I was all profits and I would hear that, I'm like, that's so woo-woo. Don't listen to the more peace. Don't listen to the perfect alignment. Make the money, girl. Mm-hmm. Make the money. And then the tipping point for me was having my son. Because prior to Carter, it was all work. Got pregnant, was like, okay, well, I'll have this maternity leave. Like I was like all prepared and ready to go. Had no maternity leave. When you own a business, you don't have a maternity
what
leave.
What is that? Like, how can I leave from my house? Right. Exactly. I live here. I live in the business.
This doesn't really quite work the way I was thinking, but I thought that I was going to have one. And so, you know, I had some reduced calls and hours and things like that. But the exact point was when I was trying to nurse Carter while on a call with a client, bouncing on a yoga ball, praying that he would like fall asleep while I'm going over my client's financials, and he's getting fussy. And it happened a couple of times before, and my clients were amazing, very forgiving. But this one particular time, the client got a little sassy.
No, they didn't.
And I was already, of course, hormonal and like feeling like I was going to get judged. But then when she said what she said about, you know, my inability to properly parent and to manage the business properly because of this chaos.
She didn't.
Absolutely.
She didn't. So first and foremost, I just want to say to all the mamas listening, if you cannot extend fellow mama grace, oof, don't go there.
Yeah.
Don't go there. Bless you.
It was tough. Oof.
I know, you burst into tears. What y'all don't know is Kendra Nicole's a softie, okay? She didn't cuss nobody out. She cried.
I cry in front of you, Nicole, 90% of the time that I see you. So, yes, this is true.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
But in that moment, yeah, I 100% was like, this is not what I got into business for. Like, it made me very sad. But then also, I was just like, this isn't the move. Like, this is not what I was in this for. And so I was, you know, hard on myself because I'm like, I planned for this. And, you know, I thought I was prepared. And so at that moment, though, is when I realized, okay, I have to shift this model. I have to understand that I have to make sure there's proper alignment with clients and like go through the whole thing, right? But I knew that at that point, it was not about just making as much money as possible and bringing this business to whatever number. There had to be some piece there of ensuring that I'm working with the proper people, ensuring that I have the proper hours, that if I need to go and put my son to sleep because he's fussy and he's 1 month old, that I can do that and not feel like, you know, like I'm a horrible businesswoman. And literally at that exact point is when everything shifted for me. And I was like, this is not just about scaling. Like, this is about making sure that there is that proper balance.
Wow. And I think what really stands out to me in that story is that we hear about balance being, I say it all the time, balance is bogus, right? It's never going to be perfect balance.
Absolutely.
But there is prioritization.
Yeah.
And in that moment, it was like, look, the priority is my baby. Mm-hmm. And it's not I'll just be the one who's transparent to say it. You know, sometimes that parenting may not be where you want to be, mm-hmm. but it is the priority, mm-hmm. you know, and I need the flexibility to be there if I need to, because you never know your kid shifting focus. I have a similar story with Chrissy when she was going through chemo, you know, when she got that diagnosis. When I tell you that was the first time I realized I literally don't care about this business. Yeah. Like, I thought I cared about it.
Yeah.
I really was like, this is the thing that has been my primary focus for 6, 7 years. I've just only been focused on this.
Yeah.
But when I tell you, if they told me in that instant, that moment, you will never make another dollar.
Yeah.
You will lose everything you have. You will sleep on a box, but Chrissy will live. They could have it.
Right.
And that was when I was like, oh, wow. None of this matters if the right things aren't okay.
Absolutely.
So what were the first steps that you took to start transforming your business to allow you to be, you know, mom and a Carter?
The very first thing was figuring out what am I really looking for? Like, what am I really doing this for? And that's when I realized, like, time at that point was my highest priority. Like, I needed to be available when I wanted to be available. I need to be able to wake up any morning and say, today I can take a call or I can't take a call.
So wait. Let's be clear about this, because everyone says shifting from corporate to entrepreneur is to get time freedom.
Yeah.
But there's this thing that no one has talked about, which I think is kind of what I'm trying to call out here that's so important, is time flexibility.
Yeah.
So I may have the freedom to schedule where I want to, but listen, it has to hit the schedule for me to make money.
Right.
Time flexibility is, oh, I don't have to do it at all.
Right.
And that was what you were actually seeking.
Right. Mm. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I still had dozens of clients that I had to have like monthly calls with, and I had to talk to the team about their accounting work. And so there was still work that had to be done. But did it have to be done every Tuesday at 2 p.m.? Or if Carter was fussy at 1:50, could I move that 2 p.m. to another time and it still get done? Mm-hmm. And that was what was more important to me, was how can I make sure that everything is getting done the way that it needs to get done? But it doesn't have to be so perfectly, you know, scheduled and calendarized and all of that, that I can't also have the flexibility to be mom first.
Yes.
So I had to shift things around, because before, yeah, my focus was just like, if I had an hour in the day to get work done, then I'm going to get work done. I mean, it's another hour where I can work. And now it's like, that hour, I have no idea what's going to happen next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Yes. Carter could have the flu.
Yes.
I think, you know,
listen,
I can get sick,
these
you know,
babies,
you have no clue.
It could be, you could even have something on the calendar for exactly 2 o'clock. Everything could be totally fine until two. And then you'll hear a crash in the other room.
Exactly.
And you're like, I am going to be late to this call because you decided you wanted to get something off the top shelf. And now we're going to urgent care.
Right.
So this is the thing right now. And exactly. I need to know that I can shift things accordingly.
Yeah.
I so align. I know everyone right now is like, yes, yes, yes. So, okay. Truth moment. How did it work? Was it easy and seamless in the beginning?
Absolutely not.
Y'all, I told you, Kendra's our people because she's like, look, I'm not gonna lie to you. It was a mess.
Yeah.
So how did it work in the beginning?
But you want to know why it was a mess? It was like my own mental mess.
Isn't it?
Clients were amazing. They were like, Kendra, take the time. Mm-hmm. Some of them were actually shocked that I'm taking calls when I have a son that's 2 months old. They're like, why are we on a call?
Oh, but then we also have, so I don't know about you, so let me not project, but it's like literally, I'm like, oh no, I'm fine. like that's my thing. Is like, I'm
when
like,
my
no,
hair
it's
is
fine.
All a mess.
Literally,
I'm
a disaster.
Eyelash falling off.
Listen,
right.
A disaster, right? Half the boob is out. Hair is a mess. And I'm like, do you mind if I turn off my Zoom camera? Because my baby just spit up all over me, like whatever. Right. And literally you're saying to yourself though, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Like, because I also wanted to be able to be the person who could. No one was even asking it of
right.
me. But I wanted to be the mom who can do it and say that this isn't an issue.
Yeah.
Even though other moms are giving you grace.
Absolutely. And so take the grace and you know, appreciate it and accept it. But yeah, a lot of it was my own mess in the beginning. The team was great. Like, they were willing to do things. I think it's just that shift, you know, I don't know if it's the corporate shift or whatever it is, the type A shift, but it's just like, you can actually accept that you can have flexibility once you, you have to accept it.
You have to accept it, that you deserve it. Yeah.
It's weird.
For sure.
Wait, I can reschedule.
I'm allowed to.
Like,
and also, like, can we just say, and I think that you probably realize this quickly too, if it doesn't get done or if it gets shifted, like, the world didn't end.
Listen, Nicole.
It didn't end.
I had to learn that very, very early on because I just, and my dad actually had to be the one to tell me.
No way.
Because I'm like calling him.
You have a super wise dad. Y'all don't know about this. Kendra Nicole's dad be knowing.
My dad, he's awesome.
He has the answers.
And I was like calling him about the laundry not being done. And like there was like a bottle in the sink. And he's just like, Kendra, like, what are you?
It's all right.
It's fine. Like, don't stress about it. I'm like, well, but what about? And so, there was a lot of having to come over that. But I'll tell you that once I finally worked through those things and got to the other side and really did find, because you're absolutely right, there is no perfect balance. Mm-hmm. Balance is bogus. But once I found how to prioritize and how to refocus every day on what's important to me in that moment and follow to that, I can't look back. Like, there is no going back.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my opinion, starting, like, how do you find that peace and profits? You start with what is important to you right now.
Ooh,
and if
good.
It's, you know, if it's the profit side more, because maybe you're wanting to get to a certain amount to send your kids off to college or do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Great. But when you're working hard and things get rough, you have that to look towards to know that, okay, well, this is what I'm going for. But you have to know what that is.
Yes.
And that makes it a lot easier to go through those hard times that you will go through. But being aware of what it is just, you know, makes it a lot easier to get there.
No, that makes so much sense. Like, setting an intentionality of that goal so that you can say, like, because honestly, it's the intentionality that lets you have the flexibility part of the freedom.
Yes.
So it's time, freedom, and flexibility as you're marching towards an intentional goal.
Yes.
Versus, oh, I'm going to work like this forever.
Right.
And I'll just, life will have to fit around it.
Yes.
Which is just not realistic.
Yeah.
Hey friends, so I know you're listening to this while in the middle of being in the kitchen or chasing after the kids or in the background at work or maybe hang out in the driveway after work. And I want to let you know that I have those moments too, but I'd love for us to take a mini break together to just kind of step outside of the routine and do something that's for us. Take a deep breath, maybe grab a bite or refill that water bottle, whatever it is that we choose to focus on ourselves for today. It's up to you. But it's important that we take that time. Now, how do I like to take my breaks? I like to move around. I get up, I get out of my office, and I walk, and I move. And to make that a little easier to do, I make a point to always pack my favorite Nike gear. Now, the chat we have here today is sponsored by Nike. And that's because they genuinely and authentically care about us. Not just about how we feel when we move our bodies, but to make sure that the gear that we're wearing works for us. And I absolutely love their Indie Bra. The Indie Bra is back, and it actually comes in 3 different support levels. They've got it in low, medium, and high for however you need to move in it. And it's all about feeling sculpted but also having confidence that it's contoured to your every move. And I absolutely love it because I can actually adjust the strap. So I have that extra freedom of movement. And of course, the style is perfect. And because it's Nike, it always looks good to flatter our bodies, but it's also designed to fit and make sure that we can actually do the things that we need to do. And nothing pairs better with my indie bra than their incredible universal leggings. You've already seen me wearing these. I love them. They have that support of flexibility and that comfort. But honestly, I can wear them to work because they can handle whatever it is that my day brings. Now, before you finish your break, I would love for you to head over to Nike.com and grab a pair of universal leggings and pick out the indie bra, the one that makes sense for you. And no matter what you do, just remember that we can't keep plowing forward every single day without taking time to make sure that we're focusing on us being mindful and being our best self. I want to sort of shift gears, but tie it in as well. Yeah. So I'm the breadwinner, you know, in my household, in my relationship, and I always have been as an entrepreneur. Part of that is because of who I am, right? Like, yeah, it's just my predestined, you know, yeah, nature that it is very difficult to make more money than me because, yeah, I will always make a lot. And we thank God for it. I receive it, amen. Lord. Yes, more, please. So it's like, you know, nothing wrong with that. I work really hard and all of that. But it also brings a unique set of issues around this sort of peace and profits,
yeah,
because you're the breadwinner as well, right?
Yeah.
So knowing this, that you're in this place where you literally don't care if you make another dollar because my baby needs this right now. Also, some of that's hormonal.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about having kids. Your brain snaps.
Yeah.
Like, you literally will be like, I don't care about anything because my baby needs,
right,
which is not, it's not rational, y'all. Like, if like, you can start a business if you want to, and you can choose to not listen to us and do it right and just do whatever. But I promise you, when that baby shows up or that kid needs something, yeah, you'll be right here with us. Like, yep, it's whatever. So your brain snaps. How did you reconcile the fact that you are a breadwinner with this sort of, I need to prioritize my kid and we may go broke?
Did you panic?
Did you freak out? Like, what, like, were you good?
You know what? I didn't panic, but I think that that's just having faith in the business and in my ability. And I don't know how this is going to come out.
No, like, sounding, I mean, say the things, because I'm going to have questions about that, because, yeah, I think people react differently to this, you know?
Yeah, I think there's like, I think some of us just have this ability or this feeling and this faith that, mm-hmm, we're going to be able to make the money regardless, like, mm-hmm, whether it's the business, or take the business away, I'll be able to figure out another way to make the money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that with that, I don't have that fear or that concern. Now, of course, there's also because I have planned and stashed money in all kinds of different ways.
So I wanted you to say
that's probably when I'm leaning back on.
Yeah, so I wanted you to say that it's a combination, right?
Because, yeah,
I do think that you're completely right. And one of the questions I get, especially since the divorce and sharing all this from a lot of women, is, you know, you went through this divorce, but Nicole, I didn't see you sleeping in your car. I didn't see you borrowing money from people. You know, it doesn't look like your lifestyle changed very much, you know. How'd you do that?
Yeah.
And part of it is that, you know, I made sure that I lived a life where I was living below my means.
Yeah.
You know, I made sure that if, you know, mandated for health reasons, I had the means to take care of myself,
yeah,
for a full year, you know?
Right.
And all of that came from making very careful decisions.
Yeah.
And you're saying that you did that anyways, financially, like,
absolutely,
you prepared.
Absolutely. You have to prepare for it. I mean, that's where the confidence is going to come from, mm-hmm, to do anything, to be able to cancel that meeting, to do whatever you need,
yep,
to do with your kid, or,
yep,
you know, like, having that financial confidence, knowing that you have whatever amount of money in your savings account, whatever amount of money, if it's stocks or whatnot, although you need to have some liquid cash.
Yes,
right?
Liquid cash. Always listen, even a little cash in the house, like cash,
yes,
like,
yes,
you need to have cash,
yeah, always,
yeah.
But that's for sure going to be that safety net that's, mm-hmm, going to allow you to really enjoy that freedom that you're kind of working for as an entrepreneur.
I'm paying myself to,
yeah,
be at home, you,
right,
know, like, absolutely. And you guys have heard me say it when it comes to like my values and products and working, it's been really nice to be able to say no, you know, like,
yes,
if a project comes, you know, and I don't want to do it because it's not even in value alignment, it's, mm-hmm, like, I don't need this money, it's, mm-hmm, a no, you know. And that does come from the work, but again, I think it's something that we share with intentionality. It's, mm-hmm, part of why we were working was, yeah, to be able to intentionally say, oh, I don't have to do this. But even us, mm-hmm, we even had to come to a point where we were like, oh, this is the time to push that button and start paying ourselves,
yeah,
you know, because we were like, we'll just keep working, you,
right,
know, and that's not realistic. So I love hearing that. I'm going to be honest though, panic does set in.
Yeah.
You know, panic does set in where I say to myself, oh my gosh, the money's running out.
Mm.
You know, where I'm like, I'm working and I'm drawing from this thing where it was my safety cushion net. You know, like I have my savings account. When it goes below a certain number, which is imaginary.
Yeah.
So this is me tapping into your financial person brain.
Yeah.
You know, and I've said things to you like I save way too much for taxes, you know, just because I get nervous and all of this. Is this why it makes sense for anyone to work and have a financial team so that you can know what your healthy number is versus your number that may be based on scarcity or fear?
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I think, and that person could be like a CFO in the business, or it could be a financial manager or a wealth manager. I mean, there's different ways to kind of look at it, but there definitely should be someone who is aware of your financial situation, aware of your needs and your wants, and aware of your future plans and what you're wanting in the future, so that they can help you keep all of that in mind when you're making decisions or if you're potentially getting concerned about something. But they are like literally in your financial corner. Now, in your financial corner.
Oh,
so if you are with partner, with spouse, with, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, that's cool. And maybe you guys have someone else, but like you have to have someone, you as an individual have to have someone who is in your financial corner who likely knows more about your financial business than said partner.
Oh, okay. So this is what we're doing here today. So Auntie Kendra just came out and she's about to tell you about yourself. So I told you we were the same. So here we go. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, with all the things that strong, you know, capable women do. And I just say that because we have some women, you know, who listen that are my friends here who may not have collected all their money yet, but they are doers. Yeah. You know what I mean? We will get that money any type of way, right? Yeah. Like we'll do what we need to do to provide for our families. And they may not feel like they're worth the prenup today, but they know that that money is coming and they need it signed tomorrow, right? So you're saying, because I come across this all the time, well, my husband is my partner. Like we're married. It's all in the household, all this. But but I think we both had a look into the corporate world. Men typically don't see it that way. A lot of these men will have their businesses solely in their name, funds in their name, everything on their own. And yet women tend not to do the same thing. Can you tell me a little bit about what you've seen? I mean, you work with women who are quite wealthy.
Yeah.
And how are they with their money in relation to their partners?
Yeah, it's so interesting you say that because I actually used to work with someone who, a male, and he had assets, all kinds. He had homes, boats that the wife didn't know about.
Oh, didn't know though.
She had no clue. Home, like whole properties.
But those are also, I mean, realistically, they're assets. When you have so much money, eventually you just buy things.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
You buy Rolexes, you buy artwork, you buy these things because you have to put the money somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure maybe there were times where things were purchased and he just forgot to.
Also possible when they have the type of money, you like,
know?
Yeah,
you know, so it's possible. But I would venture to say that if that was a woman that went off and bought another property, she probably would have told her.
Might have mentioned the new home in Aspen casually,
right. You know, and so I do think that there is a difference there. Why? Who knows? All kinds of reasons, I'm sure. But regardless, I do think that individuals, but particularly women, need to be very confident in understanding what their financial situation is across the board. And before they are concerned about, does my partner know and understand and respect and agree, they need to just be very clear on what it is. And there's a lot of times, regardless of how much money you're making, whether your money is on the way or whether you have it already stashed and stacked up, there's a lot of fear, I feel like, around just like taking complete ownership of what your financial situation is. And that has to get worked through.
Yes.
Because you have to be clear on where you are and clear on where you're wanting to go. But first, clear on where you are.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I definitely suggest
knowing someone. Like, yeah, a picture. And it's interesting that you say all this because just, you know, in full transparency, you know, a lot of women feel, at least in my experience that I've seen, that, you know, they kind of blur the line between their business role and their wife role, you know, and they often feel like, well, as a wife, of course we're partners.
Yeah.
Of course it's a mutual business. And what's interesting is if there's any part of you that feels weird whenever you say that in relation to your partner, it might also be telling about your relationship, you know? And so I can easily say that for the entire duration of my marriage to my husband, you know, and I'll say clearly, anytime he would use the phrase partner or, you know, we're doing this together or anything like that, I shut that down so fast. And he'll tell you that too. And I say it with no shame. It's not something I'm embarrassed about. And people can think any way they want about me. I look back now and I'm like, that is really telling. I shouldn't have even felt the need to say that to him in a lot of ways, because my current guy knows it's my business. It's not even really a conversation. It's my business, you know, even though he supports me in my business. It's my business. And, you know, my ex at one point worked for me as an employee W-2'd in my business, but it was always my business. And so he would use the word partner and I'd be like, no, it's my business. I was like, and I would literally stop and be like, I just want to be completely clear about your use of partner here. It's my business. Just shut it down.
You have to.
You have to, you know, and however, if you have to do that, it's probably a sign of other things in the relationship. Just letting any of you know, if any of you feel hyper-protective about saying that, there may be other conversations that need to be had. But all that being said, I'm grateful that I was always really clear, because that has helped me down the line. And it has also affected the way that I've approached the finances. You know, everything's in my name. Everything's, you know, mine. You know what I mean? And I think that we sometimes, you know, for whatever, for historical reasons, you know, really will feel the need to include our partner.
Blur those lines.
In the business, even though the business is separate from the marriage.
And it's very difficult. Once you blur the lines, it's very difficult to make them clear again.
Oh, for sure. You know,
and
for
so it's just simpler, if possible, to just start, as you mentioned, start being very clear from the beginning about what business you have, what together you guys have, but the assets and everything that's with your business is your business. And just being very clear on that, and also understanding that how much you share about your business's financials is also up to you.
So you're saying this, like, in terms of being clear, you're saying from an accounting standpoint and a relationship standpoint. So obviously neither one of us is relationship experts here, you know, but we're saying, like, from a relationship standpoint, you can say, look, this is my business, this is your thing. But also from an accounting standpoint, not mixing those two can really help. Even if you aren't saying it out loud, paperwork wise, it's pretty clear.
Well, and just like day-to-day decisions in the business, like once you start to, I mean, think about it. If you're always asking your partner for advice on, like, financial advice, or should I hire this person? Should I hire that person? Now, some things, sure, just to kind of get their thought on. But if you're always asking them things and making them almost feel like they are a partner in the business, and then turn around and say,
add to the confusion,
you know, so it's just a lot easier to kind of keep things as clear as possible. Now, they're going to know some aspects of the business anyways, because when they look at a tax return, they're going to see how much profit you're bringing,
Also, depending on the type of business you have. So, like, I have a business where, you know, if I'm going to a red carpet or if I have a book release, like, obviously he knows and he's part of it. And I will say, like, you know, with Alex, I definitely, Alex more so than my previous partner, I ask his opinion of things, you know, where I'll say, you know, this is how I'm looking at it, because I know he looks at things from a different lens. But I'm really big on, can I get your opinion on this? Which is a clear delineation between, you know, I need your help versus I'm asking your take. And then the other phrase that we use to support each other is solutions or support.
That's good.
You know, so it's like when one of us starts sort of business venting, it's, do you need solutions or do you need support? Because are you asking me to give you advice from some business angle, or do you just need a space?
Oh, that's good. Oh, I need to start that.
So much.
Because I dive straight into solutions, and I'm sure Ashley sometimes is like,
they don't want to hear it.
Really want to
know. They don't want the answers. They they want to suffer. Okay? Yeah. like everyone understands it. And listen, it applies to teenagers. It applies to children. Everything. Do you want solution or support? Yeah. I even use it with toddlers. You know, do you just need a hug right now, or do you want me to help? Do you need a hug or do you need help? And so I was like, I just need a hug. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's work through it. You know? So I'm all day, that really helps. Still working on it. So you're saying that numbers wise, that in a business from an accounting standpoint, being really clear about what we decide to share financially is still up to us. And we can change the range on that. And obviously, if I feel nervous about sharing things accounting wise, that also may be a sign of other things.
And I think it's like less about necessarily like the nerves of it and more about understanding, like, once you open that door, they just might have thoughts and insights. But to your point, maybe you want those thoughts and insights. Like, that might work too. I just don't, you know, I have seen, and I hate to see clients who have opened that door to not even just partners, but parents.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's a
family
great
members
point.
That they've kind of brought into the business.
Listen, those
and
siblings.
Then they try to set the separation, and it's like, yeah, but you've given them access to all your bank accounts. You've given them, you know, they're running payroll for your team. Like, they're basically a part of your company now. And now you're trying to say, yeah, but you can't make any decisions. And so it's just being, I guess, again, intentional from the beginning on what you want that relationship to look like and how you want it to go. Because once you start bringing folks into your business, you know, it's just, it's, It's hard.
There's more at risk, you know, in terms of loss. I can't tell you how many people I have had in my office saying, oh, my sister does this for me.
Yes.
Or my cousin does this for me. And they're just so good at this part, or they used to do HR for this. And the thing is, one, most of the time they're not as good as they think.
Yeah.
You know, like when I start looking at the work, I'm like, this is actually pretty sloppy work. It's just better than what you have done for yourself. So you think they're good at it. And the hardest part is I want someone who I can fire.
Yes.
You know, so I'll have employees who are like, man, you know, working for Nicole, I thought it would be all roses because she's so grace-filled and blah, blah. And I'm like, it's still a business, you know, and you may not have liked that you thought it was going to be roses. And I'm like, I'm writing you up and you're like, go.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
yeah,
I'm glad I can do that. It's harder to do that with
so much.
Like, I've had family members work for me. I've had, you know, and it just, it never goes well because there are times where they're expecting a level of empathy and compassion and grace and extra where it just does not meet the moment of the task. And you feel bad because you want to give it.
Right.
And you can see how it would be appropriate from a sibling standpoint. But in terms of the work part, you can.
Yeah.
You know, and then not to mention numbers. God, I don't want to be responsible for my family's household income.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you might extend that grace for so long. And then that might build up resentment because you're like, OK, I'm extending this grace. And I'm, you know, trying to make sure that you, you know, still have this income coming in. But you're not seeing that and you're still not, you know, improving.
And have you seen that from like an accounting? Because you see the numbers on the back end and the numbers don't lie. You know, people giving raises or unfair salaries to family members or things like that, where it's like, why are you paying this person 150K? This job typically goes for 45K. Like,
absolutely.
Do you see stuff like that?
All the time. All the time.
Wow.
Yeah. I've seen folks in their siblings' business give themselves a raise without asking the owner of the business.
You lying girl. That's
and
wild.
And they're just like, well, things have happened in my life and I need to make more money and I'm going to pay myself more. And so they went and ran a higher payroll. I mean, it's insane.
That's
the
theft.
Amount of disrespect. It
you can't do that. That's actual theft.
And they're still an employee.
Listen.
In the business. Oh. So, you know, it makes things a lot harder, you know, and business is already hard enough as it is running a business. So just, you know, be wise about things that might come in and make more complications unnecessarily. And sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes hiring family members can just make that harder.
Well, we've covered a lot of different aspects of peace in relation to profit, you know, peace within self, you know, of parenting and feeling good and being willing to let go, and peace within our interpersonal relationships with our partners, with our family, with our friends. But I want to talk about peace in relation to purpose, right? We talked about the intentionality and knowing where we're going. And I think that, you know, not to tell all your business, but, you know, I met you when you were kind of starting out, you know, and which is unbelievable considering where you are now. I mean, this woman has built an incredible, wildly profitable, crazily impactful business. And it's like, not to mention family at the same time. When I met her, she was unmarried, no babies.
Yeah.
Now she's like, she's going to have a football team, you know, and, you know, she's got this incredible business, employees, all of that. And one of the things we talk about often now, you know, is kind of the what's next, you know, around our peace and our purpose and role. What gives us peace in knowing how we're going to show up?
Yeah.
You know, babies being kind of the baseline. That's our focus for right now. But what do you see for yourself? How does someone still maintain the profits without casting a vision of working forever for themselves?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, honestly, I feel like the business and the accounting work and the CFO work, like, I feel like that's just going to continue. And I have shifted to expanding the team so that I can kind of back out of some of the day-to-day more. But the passion of serving women in their businesses is there and will never go anywhere. Like, I always want to be there to ensure that women are confident in their numbers, confident in their ability to create strategies and scale their businesses. So that's definitely not going anywhere. But yeah, you're right. I want to be able to do that while growing my family and while, you know, having a real maternity leave this time. So yeah, I'm definitely learning as I'm going on how to like find that proper balance. But The biggest part for me right now is actually continuing to grow out that team so that I can back out of that day to day and just continue to support women, because women, like, we're still the highest number of folks going into entrepreneurship and building businesses. Mm-hmm. We need the support. So definitely going to continue.
So y'all, you've heard me talk about my health journey, and so much of that has been about reducing stress and prioritizing family and just really making sure that I'm doing what's required to show up as my best self in this world. And I want to let you know there's something new that I've integrated into my process. Now, your skin is the biggest and most visible organ of your body, and it's responsible for so much. And it's critically important that you're taking care of the health of it. And I have discovered something that is transformative. I'm no longer focused on just temporary reduction of things. I don't want to just temporarily make my wrinkles not show and just temporarily make sure that my age spots go away or just temporarily have clearer skin. It's not just about that. I want to treat the root causes of it. And that's exactly what OneSkin does. OneSkin has a proprietary OS1 peptide. Now, let me explain what that means. Basically, it's the first ingredient that targets these things that are called zombie cells, right? And they contribute to skin aging. So fewer zombie cells means healthier, younger looking skin with fewer lines and wrinkles, reduced age spots, and here's the part I love most, a stronger natural barrier, which is important all times of year. Your skin does a lot for you, and we want to make sure that we are investing in the health of our skin, not just what it looks like. OneSkin is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. And you can get started today with 15% off using code Nicole at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code Nicole. After you purchase, they will ask you where you've heard about them. And honestly, everyone's going to ask you because your skin's going to look so good. So please let them know that you heard about it from Nicole. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. Hey friends, so spring is right around the corner and I am building out a capsule collection wardrobe. Have you heard of those? They're basically where you pick your essential items that you absolutely love and you wear them all the time. And as a busy mama who still wants to look great, I have a couple things that I've got to share with you. And one of them is Vionic. Now, Vionic has these loafers that I am obsessed with. You've seen them on social. You've seen me wear them. You guys have been DMing me about them. They are incredible. They're called the Uptown Loafer, and I'm doing a dedicated thing about them right now because you've asked me about them so much, and I want you to know what they are and where to get them. So the Uptown Loafer comes in 10 shades of premium suede and leather. And I also have like a more narrow foot, so I just got the regular ones. And y'all, when I tell you, these shoes are game changing. So the way that they're constructed, they still collapse flat. I'm so serious. They fit in my purse. I take them to events. They fit in my workout bag so that if I have to shift from sneakers to work gear, I can just slip them on. I even have shoved a pair into my glove box. Literally, they are the go-to perfectly packable shoes for anything. And I want to let you know, they look good. They actually add like they call them the Uptown Loafers, but I feel like I look a little upscale. You know, even though they are comfortable and lightweight and easy to wear, they look really stylish. I mean, it's partly because Vionic uses this thing called BioMotion technology. So their shoes are actually built off of medical orthotics. Now, don't laugh. I know, but they work. We should have shoes that actually support our body, but also look good. They're good for my well-being. Now, I wear these to pick up the kids. I wear them to the office. And Vionic knows their shoes are great because they offer a 30-day guarantee. But y'all, these shoes aren't going back, okay? You wear them, you love them, and if you don't, you can return them for a full refund in 30 days. So I want to let you know that you have to grab a pair. My favorite colors are red, which is like the it color this season. They have a super cute silver, which I think adds like a stylish pop to every outfit. And of course, you need black and you need sand. Sorry, I know you're like, Nicole, not four more things. But for real, they are go-tos. They make sense for a capsule collection. They go with everything and they're so comfortable. And even better, because we're friends, if you use the code Nicole at checkout, you get 15% off your entire order. So you can go over to www.bionicshoes.com. When you log into your account, you get 15% off. It's a one-time only code. So definitely stock up. Head over to V-I-O-N-I-C shoes.com Enter code Nicole for 15% off your entire order and stock up on Bionic shoes. They're wearable well-being for your feet. What do you think is the biggest transformation you've seen in yourself from then to now?
From like when I first met you?
Yeah.
Oh, Nicole, how many have...
I just want, because here's the thing, like people are going to follow up and they're going to see you and they're going to, because this is going on YouTube, they're going to listen to the, you know, they're going to, you know, they're going to look you up, they're going to click and they're going to see this incredibly composed, you know, I always tell people, I'm like, you are the epitome of put together and like from the outside, you know what I mean? Like put together, okay. Right? Like, you know, accomplished, but and all of that is very true, you know? And I think part of working with finances are that people are so nervous with them that you can't match that energy. Mm-hmm. And I see that a lot in you where it's like, you really know how to remain calm and wise and clear, even if people are coming to you in chaos, you know? And that's something you do very well and is required for the job. Mm-hmm. But little do people know, like when I say, if I could make a list of like the softest, squishiest people I know in my life, you are like top three. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you are all like babies and hugs and love and kisses and cuddles. And like, you are just like feels. Mm-hmm. Little do people know, you know, like,
absolutely.
You know, that is very much who you are. And that has never changed. I think that I saw it a lot more before, you know, to now, because so much has happened.
Yeah.
But transformation wise, what is the number one thing you like about yourself now? You know, that you have grown and blossomed and hope to continue to grow. And then what do you think you've lost a little bit that you kind of either hope to rediscover or, you know?
Yeah. So if transformation wise, I'll actually say you had a lot to do with this. When I first,
don't make me cry.
When I,
you know,
first
we have hormones.
You,
don't do this.
Listen, it's literally that story of when I first met you.
I'll never forget that day.
I mean,
changed my life. I'll never forget that day.
Changed my life. Pre that day, I was still in the closet.
Yes.
I was not yet married.
But you weren't. You know, you knew how you felt.
I know
you
were, how I have, felt.
When I tell you, y'all don't know, when I met Kendra that day, she was so in love. I know because I recognize it because that's how I feel now. This girl was like, I'm in love and I want to marry her and I know it's going to be a thing. Mind you, they're married now, got babies, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, but it was, she was like, I don't know. I have this business and I don't know what I want to do. I was like, girl. Yes.
But I was so concerned about what would happen if I told, because I was also still in corporate at the time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I hadn't even told my boss. And my boss was amazing.
Yeah.
But I was fearful of telling him. I was fearful of telling other folks at work. I was fearful of telling the social media audience that I had built up for the business. And I was like, how is this going to impact the business? I was just so concerned. But yet I saw you on stage living your best authentic life, talking about your relationship and your kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, oh, who is this beautiful black woman in this interracial relationship?
Yes.
Just like
doing whatever.
Like, I don't care what anybody says. This is what it is. And so that's literally why I went to that event. And then I got the fact that I got to actually talk to you and attempt to share that story with you through the tears and the, you know, sobbing.
Something else.
You know, I know you're probably wait, what? But okay.
But you were engaged like, what, a couple months later?
I was like engaged shortly after, which is when I was like, okay, Kendra, you got to get this together because people are going to ask you about your fiance and now you have to actually like talk about this.
And literally no one cared.
Nobody cared.
It was such a, like, I mean, when I tell you, I was like, you were in tears. I thought you were going to tell me something for real. I'm not even going to lie. I was like, I mean, is she secretly broke trying to help people with finances? Because that's what it is on this internet. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I was like, nah, she's in love. I was like, that's not the thing.
Yeah.
We're not going to make that the thing. Please go be in love.
But that was the transformation. Mm-hmm. It was coming out. It was very shortly after then just living 100% authentically how I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not caring about what the Instagrams and all
that
had to say. Mm-hmm. And man, like, just the freedom on the other side of that.
People are also looking for your story,
insane.
Too. Have you had any like women reaching out or anyone saying like, you know, just seeing you build this family? I mean, you have such a beautiful, like, y'all have not seen her son. Like, listen, I literally am over here. Like, if you're trying to cook, like, you can crank out one or two of those for me. I've asked you outright. I've said, listen, you make very good babies, like very cute. So, I mean, has anyone reached out ever?
Yeah. Folks DM me and they're just like, you know, thanks so much for like being this example and all.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's exactly what I was coming to you and saying, you know, thank you so much for being this example of being able to just show up and being you and not really caring, you know?
People have a problem anyways.
Regardless. Mm-hmm. But the the impact that you had and that that meeting with you had, and then to be able to like work with you later as my coach.
And we
you
still know, talk. Like, now we just text all the time. I'm like, tell me the baby thing. Girl, let me tell you how this. Can you believe this? Like,
yeah. That was definitely the biggest transformation. And it's made a huge impact.
Oh my God. You're so 100%. You're so kind. That was really nice of you to come here and say that, y'all, like, please, you have no idea. Like, Kendra has me out here trying to get my body right, get my life right, have these babies.
It is 100% every single day. 100% the truth. So, like, I can absolutely pinpoint that as being, because pre that date, I was nervous. I was always, you know, I knew that I could do the thing. I could help people in their business. I can do all of that. But I was always like, but what if they ask about your partner? Or what if they ask about your family? Mm-hmm. And that's like not a way to
be. It's not the thing. Isn't it wild though when you, because also let's just be clear, y'all, we're talking like 8, 10 years ago. All of us were, it's amazing. You think in your early 30s that you know something, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
Like it's amazing how like still, I guess almost 20s, like you can be in your early 30s and you don't realize that till you're in your early 40s. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, wow, I was still really a kid. We worry about the wrong things.
Yeah.
Like the only difference in your 30s is that you're actually doing it, mm-hmm. but you're worried about the wrong, like the thing you're most nervous about, you'll admire someone else doing right, but they're worried about other things, you know? And very kind of you. But
that's
when
true.
I tell you, I didn't see what you saw. You know, I was like, this girl's got it together. And true, proof, evident, happening. Now, if there's something that you wish you could reclaim from that time, what do you think it would be?
Oh, yeah.
Because so much has changed. You know what I mean? Like I'll give you mine. So the thing that I wish I could reclaim from my 30s, like early 30s, the time that we met, that phase, is I wish I could reclaim my tolerance for risk.
Ooh.
I feel like I've gotten to the point now where it's like, eh. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I will take tiny risks, if you will, but like between the babies, sort of my age, knowing things are changing, and maybe it's just wisdom. You know, maybe I'll look back at 40 and be like, oh no, you were still risky. It's just that you got wise about the risk. I don't know. But when I was in my 30s, if someone was like, oh, I'll meet with you for 5 minutes, I'm hopping on a plane to see. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And now I'm like, well, what do the kids need? And, you know, am I tired? Or what's Tuesday giving? You know, like, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's the who all gonna be there. You
right,
know?
Right.
I didn't use that as much, but then, you know, but now it's like, it really is a thing. And I think there are times where I kind of miss that energetic fire about like taking that risk, you know?
I would say mine is somewhat similar. It's just kind of like that spunk and that like ability to be very spontaneous. Mm-hmm. I am not that right now.
Not
like,
at
I'm
all.
Like, if it's not on the calendar in advance, 100% planned out, I need the agenda ahead of time.
Listen.
And while that serves me well and my anxiety well,
yes,
you know,
right?
Like I need that, you know, for that reason. You know, my wife will definitely let you know, like, okay, Kendra, can we just
flex a little bit?
Just a little.
Alex is the same way. What was it? It wasn't yesterday. It was the day before that. He was like, oh, I'm coming home early from the studio. Let's do a date night, whatever. We get home. And you know what happens if you don't have date night planned? It's like 8:30. It's why don't we just stay in?
Yeah.
Why don't we just stay in? And he's like, no, let's go out. We got to get out. We can't always be in. We got to stay. And I'm like, well, I mean, but if we go out, it's already 9.
If you think by about it for more than 15 minutes, it's like, it's done.
Same thing with Netflix. If I have to look for a movie for 50 minutes at this point, let's go to bed. You know, we'll talk. We'll stay up in bed on our phones. Like, well, let's have a date in bed on our phones. We'll show each other TikToks.
Yes.
Isn't that fun?
You know
what I mean? Like, I got to listen. Let's make a promise right now. We'll wrap on this to not find ourselves in a rut in 3 years because we did not flex enough. We can flex a little bit more. We can be the
I'll
fun.
I'll put that in the calendar. I'll put a flex space on the calendar.
If that isn't us right now, we're like, all right, cool. Let's schedule our spontaneity.
Yes.
I love it. 100%. I love to see it. Kendra, I love you.
I'm
so grateful that you're here. I cannot wait for us to regroup and do this again in a year. And we talk about our babies.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a blessing. Where can people find you? Where can they follow you? I know for a fact, y'all, please, please, you know, I don't always send people anywhere. You've got to follow Kendra. She is your go-to. If you love me for business, you know, things, she is a financial expert who is business-minded, business-oriented. She has an incredible team behind her. I actively send her clients. You know this. I send her people for sure. So tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, the best place is going to be thefinancefem.com. That's the website. Or thefinancefem on Instagram as well. Those are going to be your best two spots.
Oh, you have a podcast. Let them know where they
podcast,
can.
Yeah. Kendra Nicole podcast. So you can definitely just type in, search Kendra Nicole, and I'll be there.
Oh, so good. We'll have the details in the show notes, you guys. Make sure you follow. And Kendra, I cannot wait to have you back. I love you so much.
Love you too.
Another great chat. Oh, I love spending time together. Now I need you to subscribe,
rate, and leave a review because I love hearing from you. And then come hang out with me on Instagram at Nicole Walters. I'll be back here next week, and I hope you are too. See you there, friend.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.